grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. It is a good day. If you can smile, smile. And if you can't, try to smile. It's a good day. Our text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew from chapter 21. And I read from verse 33 to the end of this chapter. And if you're able, please stand. Words in Jesus' name. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it and a tower. And he leased it to wine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. They caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy his wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other wine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whom it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet. Father, these are thy words. Thy words are truth. Thy words give us life. May we have ears to hear it and heart to receive it. In Jesus' name's sake, amen. Please be seated. Jesus concluded his ministry in the northern part of Israel, in the Galilee region, known as Galilee, with a speech concerning brotherly love, and if your brother offends you, go and make things right with your brother. As I was thinking, and prayerfully thinking, how to open a sermon this morning, this thought was given more or less as assurance that it is okay to mention that even when a brother offends you, your motive to go to that person is love. Because God is one, and we are also to be one. Offenses come, but woe those through whom they come. If we leave people to their vices and care not for them, we have aught against them, but that does not set free, because love seeks not only the lovable, but the love seeks also those that hurt us. While I say that word us, I'm aware that my S sound is not clear. I have seen a dentist, and he put things into my mouth which causes difficulty saying certain syllables. So you understand, I'm up in years, so you forgive. But even so, Jesus ended his dream in Galilee about forgiveness. If your brother offends you, go to him. And if he listens to you, you can walk together. If he doesn't, he has in his mind a right while he's trampling on your rights to be himself. And a person who holds on to his rights has not died to his sins. Jesus coming here and dying for us is asking also us to die with him, that it is not our will that we want to do, but his will. And his will is that brethren could walk together, that they would have harmony. And that takes effort. Because if I'm not dead, I want to live for myself. If I'm dead in Christ, I also want to live for another person who at the time is taken by the devil and his vices. What we may say, we are deceived. But the worst deceived person is who deceived himself, saying, I'm okay with God the way I believe. But God comes along and tells, examine yourself. Not by the standards that you have fished out from the Bible, but the standards that he teaches by the cross and through the cross. We are in a schoolroom today, this morning. We are by the feet of Jesus, and he teaches us, learn of me. After speaking about this forgiveness to people, and then what can happen, sad can happen. Word is not taken seriously. People keep attending their synagogues and their churches while not having their relationships straightened out and sins washed away. So he leaves then Galilee not to return. But I may say there's a group in Israel, namely Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. Three cities made like a little triangle in the northern part of Lake Galilee. Very familiar to us that are studies of the Bible. Jesus told them what is coming. Otherwise, in midst of miracles, multitudes of people wanted miracles, but they never grasped the message of the gospel. And Jesus saw a Roman army coming down from north. The first cities that were destroyed were these three cities. Edersheim, a learned Jewish scholar from England, probably more than 100 years back. He done many research trips to Israel to make sure, as far as he could find out, that these things are so. And then by Josephus and others, I don't exactly say he named Josephus, the historical truth that the North Lake Galilee was red because of the blood of human beings. Roman army, not playing a game. We are civilized today. We can know much about Jesus. We walk south from Galilean region to Jerusalem. And right there he was teaching. He was challenged and he was healing people. And I may read from verse 19, chapter 19:1. Now as when Jesus finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond Jordan. He was walking toward Jerusalem on the eastern side, what we may safer side. You could get supplies on a journey. Going through Samaria was a problem, problematic. But then we read also chapter 20. She speaks, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. But the teachings that he taught, he opened his mouth and he taught. And there were people hungry and fed, people that were not pleased. They were like traps in a way, and for Jesus to trap him. They didn't like him because Jesus, being God, manifested in flesh, he knew the thoughts of human heart. And he would reveal these thoughts to human beings. I give you something for you to examine yourself with. Not to a man, we may say. You are yourself. But within their soul, they knew this is the truth. So then we come to chapter 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. This Bethphage is an interesting little town. As I was thinking of it, and I don't want to toot my horn, but it's like every time you, over the years, you mature and you think of these things, and it takes place in your life, and now they work as keys in a way to open the scriptures. And I had not paid much attention to this Bethphage. Beth is actually like Bethlehem. Beth is house. There comes that S sound that is so difficult. Bethphage. House of unripened figs. You know that in this region, day after, Jesus would go and curse a tree that did not have early fruit. He was hungry. And there's the little village right by Bethany. And that brought my mind, Israel, the land of Israel, is very small. I tried to figure to look at hardly 200 miles long up north to south, from what we may say Caesarea Philippi to Beersheba. And crossways from the Mediterranean side of Jordan, how much was allowed to them to have at that time when King Herod was living and so forth, but it wasn't very large, maybe 50 miles. And it was full of little villages. How close Bethphage to Bethany? Because it's a part of what we may say Mount Olive region. That little mountain, or say small, but it's higher than city of Jerusalem. You can look down from this mountain and see Jerusalem. I never been there, but I have seen enough pictures. But there is that little town where the donkeys came from. That name of the town is tied to this, where Jesus curses a fig tree. And now that conveys further what takes place in Jerusalem while he's there. As I was sitting here, convenient place for me to see what's written on a board and to sing a song. But even so, I noticed that these two candles were kind of flickering at times. And at times they were kind of giving a little black soot. And that brought my thought to Hebron. Hebron is a city further south, a very important city, because that is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were living in tents. While not having the promise, they were living in the promise. But did you know, for an instant, time of Hanukkah is coming close, our Christmas, and it is tied to the Maccabees and his sons, the revolt against Rome later, because they wanted Jerusalem and temple and so forth and all things to come back. But what happened is, one Jerusalem, they didn't have enough oil for the lamps. Any oil didn't do. You have to have an oil that comes from heaven. That oil, when it burns, like through the wick, it gives light. It has a flame. These are actually oil lamps. But when Jesus observes Jerusalem, and he sees what's taking place in his vineyard, that he has lended out to his stewards, that he can have a benefit through these teachings. This is a salvation system. Enterprise, living for the present instead of living for God and for neighbor that he may live to. Make no mistake. Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, as Erisheim would write, had about 500 little synagogues. It wasn't just a temple where people would go on Saturday or some other days indeed. Magnificent as it was built of Herod, and it was under building in the time of Jesus, but mostly finished. But what was taking place in there? Was that a house of prayer? Was that a place where God was honored from the heart instead of just the lips, and telling God how good I am? Or a modern slogan, more as you come to our church, because we have the full gospel. We have the full understanding. And I may say the world is filled with prophets today who have run or who are running, but God has not sent them. They have personal visions. But I myself, and I am not a judge, but I question, have they spent any time by the cross? Do they know anything about the illness and daily need for grace? Do they know anything about asking forgiveness and the sweetness that it provides when it is offered and given in the blood of Jesus? Well, time will go. Jesus has told his people, beware false prophets. And Jesus would come to Jerusalem and see what is taking place. And he's telling a parable. And the disciples and so forth, everybody is there, a lot of people. But he's telling this parable to leaders, the priests, clergy, we may say, in this city, to whom all people are looking up, and they know better than we do But these people on the hierarchy, they were looking down on these people, the filthy. And they used their system to gain from these poor people even more what they could least offer, in order that they could go to the holy area of the temple when they so desired. But you realize that in this temple, the house of prayer, there were these wounded people, not only their soul, but also in body, but especially in body because we see the word. But they were not allowed to go in. They were in a courtyard. With this, I want you to think about it. When Saul, who later is known as Paul, Apostle Paul, and Saul, full of vengeance, going after Christians, he was authorized to do that. He was held in his mind and knowledge. He was the living God and a way to God. And on the way to Damascus, he was struck blind. Now, blind person is outside. You go to the temple. Any more than go to the presence of God if we want to hold to our sin and to our rights. Presence of God paved and sprinkled with the life of Jesus and his blood. Without his blood, there is forgiveness. Period. So precious is the blood of Jesus in you. May I ask the blood of sacrificed animals, Jesus was stabbed to many other people. It was precious to a one we know as a was in a temple area. He didn't have outward blemishes, though he had a cruel selected poor profession, so to speak, in life to be living. He was up on a skirt, on an edge. I don't dare to go any further. I'm a sinner. There's another person. On it. And he looked down upon this publican. Where did the publican look? He looked at the sacrifices. The sacrifice that was being offered, and a petition, Lord, if God be merciful to a sinner because of this blood, this sacrifice. I have no other refuge except that takes away what hinders me come God. I need an intercessor. The high rulers in Jerusalem, they lived thinking, we need no intercessor per se. We are that ourselves by our lives. While milking the poor, robbing the widow's houses, not caring for the widow nor the orphan. And even here, in our text, if we kill the son, we inherit everything. Because if he's a person who has no relatives, we are the owners. But before that, God has sent many others. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That is where the prophet told. That's where this fine attitude or ugly attitude takes place. We present that which is passing, which is only a shadow. And we make shadow to be the real thing. And the real thing is looking. What is taking place? You know, King David came from Hebron. Not really. He's actually a Benjamite. But Benjamite actually lost their clan rights because of all things, my friend, homosexuality. Other tribes turned against them and devoured them to a point that there were no holy men left. So Benjamin, in a sense, was at Judah. Other north. But King David was so miraculously made a king. He was a young lad. You know the story of our seven brothers, and Samuel is to crown one for a king, to become a king, and they come after one another and all think that, well, this is it, this is it. Samuel thinks this is it. And God says, no, no, no. Are there others? Yeah. There's a little lad. His name is David. David, but he's shepherding. Go get him. We can't eat of the sacrificed meal till he comes. And there comes this young lad. He doesn't have a beard. There's a saying in Finland, I mean to say this, that a beard doesn't grow on evil people. So, man, you begin to grow beard now. Okay, I know that Steve is kind of laughing at me there. But even so, that David was anointed a king by Samuel, but it was long after that where the elders and tribesmen and elders went to Hebron, where David was, and anointed him to be a king, what you may say, official as a nation. And he served from Hebron a few years, I think it was 7 years and 6 months, and then he moved up to Jerusalem way. But I happened to look at the clock. You know, that clock is sometimes a curse when I have something to say, and everything is going by a system, by the bulletin. But I'm going to break the bulletin a little bit here, and a time clock, too. When David went up north, the Jerusalem was occupied by Jebusites, and a town was known as a Jebu fortress. And a laughter from inside was, this was a long time, they were kings in Israel and Judah. In Judah. But even so, David was not the first king. Saul was the first, okay, but the kings would come. But during the occupation, the time of judges and so forth, we may say that these people were living inside of clans of Israel, and nobody seemed to be able to uproot them. Now King David goes up north, and he tells that who conquers the city becomes a general. And there's a worship that goes from up from Spring Horn, which is virgin, up hidden passageway to the fortress and so forth. And they go there and they conquer, but the calling from inside the walls to outsiders is, even a lame and a blind can beat you. And David and his men, they conquered the city. And now these cold scorners were put to death. And we may say, and I doubt it in a way that lame per se, but the people that would make mockery, but you realize that in a system that was in Jerusalem, lame and a blind, the outsiders. The insiders had no mercy for them, only scorn. And Jesus comes to this city, tells these vineyard keepers what's going on. He revealed the innermost part for them to see, and they understood on a closing of our text that he was speaking of them. But what had he done before? He had cleansed the temple of these that sell and exchange money, profiteering from religion, void of conscience, what it means to be humble before God, and mindful who's next to you. Jesus, after cleaning, they're angry. And Jesus tells parables dealing with these things that they would understand dearly. But Jesus heals these people that are so-called blind and lame. They are important to him. And they become his children. They follow him. And they are part of this group that follows us. The little babes and sucklings that God has perfect praise from their mouth. And Jesus tells harlots and thieves will go to kingdom before you. These are harsh words. I would have more, but I'm going to quit. We are being examined. May I ask you, why do you come to church? If these words could be heard outside the multitudes of churches, why do you come to church? Is it an obligation? Is it to benefit from the system? Or is it because God, Lord Jesus, has given his word to the church? I am in midst of them. But what do they speak? They speak of salvation that is costly, where a man is called to examine himself and what he has left is, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, through the church, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And when I believe sins are forgiven, I am free to love. I am free to help the lame. I am free to help the blind. For blind cannot lead blind. But I'm free. And that freedom is, I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus came, for God so loved the world. He loves you. And he loves every person you meet. And may you be an area of your existence, a hand that sees these people. The last will be first. The first will be last. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Jesus, for the life everlasting, secured in the palm of his hand. No one can take or rob you. But examine yourselves. Be not a one who self-deceived to walk God's promise that is received. Even a smoking candle brings soot. He will not reject. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember to pray.